Dracarys.
Dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural. Winter is coming.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Side Effect Podcast. I'm back. It's Val with Tarzan and Chris. Yeah, it's been... Well, okay, so Rarest and Kevin were not able to make it because it's a busy time for all of us, and we've been doing what we can. But the good thing is that I'm back, even though some people think of me as a dolphin sounding. But that's cool, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. I will continue to speak the way I speak. Okay.
Yeah, people enjoyed the broadcast.
Yeah, what? Okay, I mean, I can see how cool a broadcast is. Okay, I can accept that.
You just tell them how it is, Flipper. Just let them have it.
So we're just gonna get straight into it. You guys probably want to hear about season 7, episode 6, Beyond the Wall. You know, there's a lot of plot holes in it, but a lot of things can also be explained if you're willing to open your mind a little bit.
Oh, please, Eric, go ahead. Go on with your badass self. I want to hear this.
Well, let's first establish what the hell we're talking about. Obviously, it's the trip beyond the wall. It's the chains. It's Gendry running 55 miles, right?
It's the Raven.
The dragon getting back all the way beyond the wall, and a Raven getting the Dragonstone. And I saw a video somebody sent me because I mentioned these things in my review, and they were like, everybody's crying about stuff like that you can't find plausible in a show about dragons and magic. And I'm like, yes, that's true. But there's still, even the producer said it was stretching it. The director even said it.
Yeah, the director admitted it. It took a few interviews, but he finally admitted it. But there was someone on Reddit who made some calculations, and apparently, if the guys were able to survive around 3 days on that island, because they did bring backpacks, which hopefully had supplies in them, like food and stuff. And actually, the first thing I wonder when I saw them just spend the night there is, like, they would have to pee in front of all the whites. You know, like, did anyone think about that? Because they're not going to spend 3 days there without peeing and pooping.
Number two. Yeah, nobody had a number. They didn't have a number two bucket on the island.
But back That's to true. The point. unless you want to expand on that. But
no.
Back to the point. I think that the calculations were saying that basically, if you think about it as 3 days, it makes sense for Gendry to run back. If he's running for his life, it makes sense that he would run for a straight 5 to 8 hours without resting, which is kind of what looked like he did, because he just dropped dead right when he got there and he had no more energy. And, you know, it makes sense that he was running for a really long time. So, and also the fact that they're in the north where the sunlight isn't the same as in the south. You know how, like, days are longer and nights are longer. So the fact that it was always the same dusk kind of looking light made sense. That it looked that way for so long. Then you have the ravens flying, that he was saying that it is possible for the raven to get to Dragonstone in, like, what do you say, like 8 hours or something? And then for the dragons, oh no, the dragons flying back would be 8 hours. The raven must have taken like 13 hours or something. And then, I don't know, he made some calculations there that made sense and said, like, in 3 days, it would have made sense for all of that to happen in 3 days and for the guys to survive 3 days on the island. And yeah, so there's that one there kind of explained.
I can buy the time because they did make sure to let you know that time had passed. So I can buy the time thing. Because it was a little darker, like when Gendry got to the wall and they were waking up from the, obviously, sleeping when Thoros had died overnight. The biggest thing was the chains, obviously.
I didn't want to get into the chains thing yet, but yes. The chains, though, the chains is the one that's the hardest to explain, and we don't really have to. I mean, it's just, I guess, nitpicking, because there could be a way for them to have chains. They did explain, there's been some explanations that weren't satisfactory. They said that there was a dock there. You can see the wood, and it looked like the chains could have been used for a ferry type of thing to bring people through the lake from one side to the other. But then again, the lake was really tiny. Can't you just like go around it?
That's a big ass chain for a fucking ferry, though. That's a big fucking chain for a boat, big boat. That is a big ass.
Yeah, and the dock, I did see the dock, but it's like a little tiny lake. It's literally a fishing pier, and that time period just don't have giant chains. I mean, they do, but they're rare. Like the Night's Watch has a chain on the wall, right? The big thing.
Yeah, that's right.
But even the regular ships out in the ocean, like for example, Euron doesn't have huge chains on the Silence. They may have big chains for the anchor, but they usually use giant rope. And Tormund had said earlier in an earlier season, we don't have good steel like Southerners. So if you think they went to Hardhome and got it, it shouldn't be there because that's just a little port for little tiny ass boats. So yeah. I don't know. It is what it is, but
I mean, even the reality, if you took them from Hardhome, that's a hell of a march. And you see all these White Walkers and they drug these chains, or what did they do? Is there magic that you can shove a 300 fucking pound chain up one of those undead horses' ass? Where the fuck did you get these damn chains from point A to point B? I mean,
oh, the visuals.
Pal. Right. I mean, I could have bought it. I'd have been completely fine if it were made of ice. They're fucking ice demons who can make ice spears.
Oh. That would have fixed everything.
I don't know why they didn't do that, but I understand what I said in my review was, okay, they do have some kind of culture. We don't know a lot about them in the books. We know a little bit about them in the show, but they make armor, all that good stuff. But they have a smith up there in the Lands of Always Winter making giant chains.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they did get the armor thing too. But I mean, there's some people who say that it's a fantasy show. It has dragons. Like, why are you complaining about a chain? I mean, you can have a fantasy show that still makes sense. The thing about this whole episode is not, this is not what we should be complaining about. Okay. We should be complaining about the whole plot thing, how it didn't make sense. But first, before we keep complaining, because I know people don't like to listen to something where you just complain about the episode, I do want to say a few things before we move on to this. And that is, one of the things that is easiest to explain would be the Night King when he decided to attack Viserion instead of Drogon. The easiest explanation for that, and the one that I like the most, is the fact that Viserion was making the most damage. It makes more sense for him to attack Viserion and then to attack Drogon. The first thing you think of is, yes, why didn't he attack Drogon? It's very easy to think that that was the best option. But when you think about it, Viserion, he had to take down Viserion if he was still burning his army. So,
and that part of the scene looked great. I mean, they were lighting that ice up. They were tearing shit apart.
Yeah, and I didn't expect to get a battle of ice and fire in season 7. You know, I thought it was, there were still great parts about the show. And for people that are complaining that other people are complaining, I mean, yeah, like you said, it's fantasy, it's magic, it's dragons, but still, you can only put your suspension of disbelief so far. You know, so it's valid to point these things out. I mean, I bitch about certain things in other TV shows too, but overall, I still love the damn show. It's like I said, it's like cold pizza. Even when it's bad, it's still pretty fucking good.
Yeah. I mean, we could do the last bitch, and then we'll try to talk about some of the positive things. And the last bitch is, how the hell, since they can't go in water, did they attach these giant chains to this freaking dead dragon? That's my last bitch I'm going to have, I swear. But it's like, you know, like Chris was saying, there's like gifts on there about the scuba dive and White Walker. Dan and Dave dropped the ball. Let's just be honest. They dropped the ball on some of the stuff there. And let's just hope that the next episode's a little more realistic.
Yeah. Well, also, I don't know. See, a lot of everybody says Dan and Dave, but the director has a lot to do with the specifics. Even he came out and admitted that, you know, the timelines were odd and you know, may not make sense. But yeah, that was the biggest thing, is the chain and how it got around. Clearly, the water was the reason they survived. I mean, they were on an island, and then the water, you know, the ice broke, and that's, you know, I think it was a trap anyway. Otherwise, they would have killed them earlier.
Yeah. I really like that theory that it's the Night King was just waiting for these dragons the entire time. People have gone really deep with that and said that maybe the Night King was the one sending visions to Dany from the very beginning and making her come to Westeros so he could have dragons. And then maybe he needs the dragons to go over the wall, or maybe he needs the dragons to melt the wall, or maybe he needs the dragons to get to the God's Eye. Who knows? Maybe he needs to fly somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, to me it was pretty damn clear. They were just standing there watching them, and there's no reason to stand there and watch them. They could have. He brings the storm. He makes it colder. He could have froze that water instantly. So I think it was a damn trap. But
yeah, but I think about that, and then I think, why don't David and Dan just say that? Like, they can make it sound so much better than they make it sound. Like, whenever they do the inside episodes, they just they explain the most basic stuff that we already know, that we can already see, and they don't give any actual insight to what they were trying to do. So, yeah.
But back to the water really quick, and I'll be done bitching too. It was just, they clearly showed from Hardhome, right, that the water was the problem for them. They survived on this little island without taking a piss or a shit, like Val said, because of water. And then somehow they get in the water and wrap these giant chains around Viserion's neck. I guess you just have to believe it. That he had, you know, maybe he's a Jedi too. He can fucking, he's got telekinesis. I don't know.
Oh, shit.
But if he did that, then he could have just Yoda'd the damn thing out of the pond. You know, just like, just lift it up with your mind. I would have liked that better than fucking chains, but at least make them ice chains. That's all you had to do was put some ice on them.
Or you could.
Uh-oh.
You could. No, this dude, you just gave me the best idea. Why does he have to touch Viserion? Why doesn't he just turn him from where he's standing and then make Viserion fly out of the water?
Exactly, and that would have been awesome. That would have looked great on screen.
Exactly, and that brings up, people were asking, I saw some videos and comments about, like, is he a white or a white walker? No, he's just a fucking white dragon. That's it.
Yeah, it's just a white dragon.
The polar bear.
Because he died. He died.
Like the polar bear. Oh, that polar bear was sick. All right. I understand that, like, it was unnecessary, but at the same time, like, holy crap. That, my heart stopped when I saw that. Like,
yeah, when it was chasing a dude directly behind him, then it came from the side and flanked him. So, how the fuck did that work? But yeah, the whole polar bear thing, it didn't make sense to just have it randomly out there, but it did. I guess the idea was to show the hound. First of all, to injure Thoros so he could die later, but to show the hound freezing up one more time with fire. And that's at some point, he's not going to freeze up.
Yeah, they're definitely showing that a lot. And that's telling me that something's going to happen with the hound and fire in the end. He's going to get over his fear and save someone, possibly.
I think so.
I also thought, and this is probably not correct because of the way David and Dan have been thinking of things so superficially. I thought, what if the Hound actually saw Thoros's death in the fire, and that's why he wasn't. Yes, he was scared of the fire, but what if he wasn't trying to do anything because he knew that Thoros would die? He had already seen it in the fire.
Yeah, that goes back to what you said in a previous podcast about maybe it was you. Like the first time on Blackwater Bay, he saw something with the flaming guy when he said, fuck the king, got the hell out of Dodge.
Right. I think that was Kevin. But yeah, I remember that. Yes.
Yeah.
Like we said, we don't want to nitpick the hell out of it. And there are some other things as far as like quantities of soldiers that seem to be in one scene and not in another. And we're going to flip it and just kind of talk about a couple of the things that we enjoyed maybe the most, or maybe some of the funniest things that we saw. And I definitely want to talk about Sansa and Kevin. I wish you were here right now.
No, so bad. Kevin's got to listen to this for sure. But no, let me say, I did like the episode. I didn't hate the whole thing. It was just aspects of it. I mean, I loved the, you know, North of the Wall, especially on the whole damn thing. I loved the banter. I loved all these guys that have a good reason to hate each other coming together. I loved the Hound and Tormund talking and their connection with Brienne. Thoros and John, I'm sorry, Beric and John, and of course they did go against the books with the whole, you know, you don't look like Ned thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was just to get the line about you must take after your mother, little Targaryen tea. So I loved all that shit, the Hound bitching at Gendry about bitching about getting sold to Melisandre. And he says, this guy died six times, you don't hear him bitching about it. So, no, I love the banter and the dialogue. It was awesome.
Oh my, yeah. Tormund and the Hound was the fucking greatest. I just love
how I like
gingers
Dick.
Are beautiful.
Bet you did.
Just by fire. Oh, yeah.
I want to make babies with her. Big, beautiful babies that take over the world.
Oh, my God.
But no, that was cool. I don't think you're mean. You have sad eyes. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was interesting. I thought that line had a lot of meaning for sure. Just again, like, they're trying to show us that the Hound has a big heart. I feel like that's the main theme this season has been, Well, not just this season, but we've been, like, ever since the Hound spent time with Arya, I find, like, the Hound has been shown to have to care a bit more than he wants to show. And, yeah, I think that's going to play out later on. But other than that, like, I will say that at this episode, holy shit, like, it kept me at the edge of my seat the entire time. I was scared the whole time of what was going to happen. Like, even when the Night King picked up the spear, holy shit, I was freaking the fuck out. When the bear was fighting with everyone, when Arya was fucking, like, about to stab Sansa, I was freaking the fuck out inside. I'm like, please, please don't do it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and that type Tormund of thing. And about dying, you were holding your breath the whole time when Tormund about getting dragged under.
Let me
say something real quick to actually defend one of the little things people had a problem with, the Night King throwing that dart, you know, to kill Viserion. Tom Brady style.
Dart. Like that, you know, you're calling it a dart.
But, you know, they did show what was season 5 Hardhome when Jon fought the White Walker. He threw Jon around like a rag doll. So I don't have a problem with the super strength thing.
Yeah, yeah, I don't have a problem with that either. I thought that made sense. I mean, he's a magical guy. You know, he can do shit like that. It's fine. That's where I will accept that there's magic in this show type of excuse. But, and then again, it was a nice spear. Who the hell has an ice spear in the first place?
Yeah, that you can make with your hands.
Yeah. I do wonder if they can just continue to make more or if they just have a limited amount. Because people were saying, like, oh, they have 3 spears. It's meant for the 3 dragons. I saw 5 spears. I don't know about you guys. I saw 5 spears. And he also lost one when he threw it to Drogon. So
there were 5 when they were sitting up on the hill looking all badass with the 4 horsemen. But they were different. They were skinnier. The ones in the... he used for the dragons were thicker. They were pulled out of the horse's little saddle bag thing.
Well, I would hope that the one he threw at Drogon would shatter when it hit the ground instead of, like, he can go pick it back up. I don't know.
At first, I kind of had a problem with it when he threw it and it hit because it, like, burst into flames. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. All right, that does make sense. You're hitting something that has flames in it. But at first, I was like, ice should not cause an explosion, and it didn't. Right? You guys agree with that?
Yeah. Because he was shooting fire at the time when he got hit, so it makes sense that the fire would come out of that hole.
Kind of the same way Danny's hands get burned in the books with the thing in Dazneck's pit, I think.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Like the spear she supposedly burned her hands on was hot because it was actually in him.
Oh, I see, yeah. you threw me off.
You know, this is based off a book series called A Song of Ice and
Fire. Shut up. Oh, my God.
Okay, so what about a lot of people had a problem with John and Danny's forced love scene? I didn't think it was forced. I thought it was fine.
I liked it. Tarzan liked it too. Yes. I felt like people either loved it or hated it.
Now that you said that, I have something positive actually to say. Yeah. One of the things they did an amazing job on was, and y'all are going to think I'm fucking sick here, but I have seen people that have gotten out of surgery or big open wounds. The way they made those wounds look on John was amazing as far as I'm concerned. They looked great. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen. The wounds look so real to me. They kind of made me cringe a little bit. The makeup jobs, I think, so far, every year have gotten better and better.
Well, I thought the abs looked very real to me, too, yeah.
Yeah, their attention to detail is impeccable. I mean, if you look at all the behind-the-scenes stuff, you know, how they go back and keep doing the snow and shit in shots, just you're not even going to notice, but that's the idea. You know, if you don't notice it, it looks real.
I don't think Chris heard my joke. Say?
No, I didn't. What'd I miss?
I said the abs looked very real too.
Oh, God. Of course.
It looked good. What do you want to say? Okay. So some people said that there was no chemistry. I felt the chemistry. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's weird that people are so...
I've been feeling the chemistry all season.
Yeah, yeah. I will admit that John's acting in that scene was a bit... Well, Kit's acting was a bit weird because, like, the way... But that's the way John is, I could say. It's when he was looking at Daenerys with those, like he's just... He's thinking that she's so beautiful.
She is so beautiful.
He's just staring at her, and he looks like he just died. Like he looks so dead for like a second there because he's just not moving. He's just like looking at her. I don't know. It was
funny. As a matter of fact, when I was doing the editing of my video, there was a scene I was going to pause it, but I didn't actually have to pause it because he didn't move.
Yes.
Like literally didn't move. The camera didn't move.
It looked just like the scene when he was laying there dead in the snow. The look, it looked identical. Remember when he was bleeding out? It looked identical.
But yeah, I thought, when she left, it was, you know, she'd get some rest, you know, before I, you know, jump on your, and then he just shuts his eyes and not, you know, but how did he know to call her Danny though? Okay, Danny. And then that's what kind of was like, okay, how did he know Danny was her nickname?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Maybe it was something like when he touched Drogon, like it's just that innate connection that he has. Maybe it's just coming out of him. I mean, the Danny thing is a bit far-fetched, I guess. Touching Drogon would be more credible or like believable because he's got that dragon Targaryen thing in him that's telling him that instinct, that's the word I was looking for, that instinct that's telling him that he can touch a dragon without getting hurt. So that would make sense. And maybe it was the same kind of instinct that made him use the name Danny because he's a family member. I don't know. But it just, all it did was remind us that they're family.
That's right. But, I mean, I think I didn't have a problem with the scene, really. I mean, they've both been trying to, like, keep their feelings in the last few episodes, all season, as a matter of fact. And I think that he just kind of let it out all of a sudden to me. Like, okay, he saw one of her dragons die. He saw her come up and risk her own life to save them. Who she really is. She's not Aerys the second. So it just kind of poured, like you said, poured out of him all of a sudden, all these feelings.
Yeah.
And he now finally he's going to become the second king who knelt.
Yeah, true.
Little shout out to Torrhen Stark.
So Sansa, let's talk about Sansa.
That sounds so creepy.
Okay. Yes, Sansa. Finally, justification for me and Tarzan. Kevin, where are you at?
Is it though? Is it? I might step in for Kevin here. And I don't even know if Kevin still wants to defend Sansa. But no.
Well, first, let me say it. Hold on.
Okay, well.
First, Arya said the same thing. A character in the show said the same thing that me and Tarzan have been saying for the past, I don't know how many months now. She said the same thing we did. So if it's written in the show, we are not wrong. Period. You can't defend it.
That scene where she was saying that I was a child and then Arya was like, well, you know, Lyanna Mormont is a child too, and she's younger than you were.
That came right out of my mouth. I don't mean to cut you off, but if you remember, that came right out of my mouth. Did it not?
I know. I felt like I was listening to you and Kevin talk when I was watching that scene. Like, it was so weird. But yeah, that's why I feel like David and Dan, they've been listening to the fandom, I think. I feel like they've been looking into those Sansa arguments. And yes, it makes sense. The whole thing makes sense. What I was going to say, though, is that I thought you guys were going to complain about Sansa looking like she's getting manipulated by Littlefinger again. And I still have hopes that she's not.
I think she's got him. I think she's playing him for sure.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, we can agree on that.
And I think Arya is right in on that with her. She played the game of faces for a reason because she's a good fucking liar. She's a good actor. I think that's all set up. She sent Brienne away. That told me immediately they were playing him.
Yeah, well, you know what? I would have liked to see the Brienne scene before the Sansa giving the Arya giving the dagger to Sansa scene, because it would have made sense that after that scene, when Sansa finally knows that Arya is on her side and she's just, you know, acting, then that's when she decides to send Brienne away because she feels safe. So it's kind of weird that they didn't put the scenes in that order. I thought it would have made more sense for Sansa to send Brienne away after Arya gave her the dagger.
Yeah, that's true, maybe. But I think the way I took the scene when Sansa and Littlefinger were in the same room talking was that at right then and there, she was deciding, okay, he's trying to turn me and Arya against each other, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So she sends her protection away so she can't interfere.
Yeah, that's what I thought so anyway, too. And then I was thinking, I just really hope that Littlefinger wasn't, you know, the Littlefinger didn't want Sansa to send Brienne away, and that's what he actually wanted. So, because he knew how Sansa would react if he told her, hey, Brienne can protect you. And he was thinking maybe, oh, Sansa's definitely going to send Brienne away if I tell her this.
Do we think he's going to die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next episode gone?
Yep.
would be Sansa or Arya?
I think Sansa will call him out. Still think Arya.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me second guess that now is the handoff of the fucking dagger. That's the only thing that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I took that as a symbolic thing, though. Like, you know, here's the blade. Do what are you going to do? Betray your family, or are you going to take care of the problem? So that's the way I took it. I just can't see Sansa after 7 seasons now just all of a sudden kill somebody for the first time. I don't know. I would love to see that. I don't know. But
yeah, she does look like the type of character who would always use someone else to do the dirty work for her.
Yeah, sure. I mean, she's learned the game.
She's almost killed before. You know? She's almost killed before. And technically, I guess she's responsible for Ramsay dying and enjoyed it. So there's a part of her. And then look at, like, when her dad. Look, if what was it, the Hound? If the Hound didn't stop her, she would have pushed that little bastard right off that damn bridge.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, she was thinking about it, yeah. I mean, but she was still holding on to that, I can still be a princess someday with somebody thing then.
Yeah, but then again, but Littlefinger would have to do something really, really bad for Sansa to want to kill him.
And that could be a number of things.
Yeah, I mean, so yep. I think we got to get Bran involved with this to push her over the edge so Bran can tell her all the shit he's actually done. And Arya should bring up Harrenhal. But see, now I will, to defend Sansa a little bit too, I said in my video as well that Arya can't really talk shit about doing what you got to do to survive because she did the same thing in Harrenhal.
Yeah.
She could have ended the war by saying his name.
Yeah. Well, and also she was serving Tywin. She was serving Tywin just like Sansa was serving the Lannisters.
Exactly. Exactly. Little hypocritical there, but...
Do we know that Bran has confirmed or not?
Fuck you, little bitch.
the pictures they released for episode 7 has him in front of a fire with a wheelchair. So, yeah, he should be.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get more Bran before the season ends. He's just came back and been emo the whole time. Which leads to the idea that this was a trap because we saw him... You know, the Night King see the ravens last episode, that he knew they were going to come and it was a trap, a dragon trap. I don't know. But if he can see Brandon visions and they have that connection, and I think he's a proto Stark, which is a joke now. Apparently, it's a drinking game on my channel.
Yes.
Then with the green sight.
I still don't get it. What does it mean? I don't even know what it means.
What, proto Stark?
Yeah. What does proto mean?
Before the Starks were actually founded, the first man that would found House Stark, he was a proto Stark.
Yeah, but what does proto mean? Why?
Before.
It means before?
Yeah, so like the Stark people before they were actually technically Starks.
Oh.
Before they founded the house and called themselves Starks.
Oh, okay.
So well, probably a green seer. So if he's a green seer, he probably knew dragons were coming.
Yes, yes, that's right. I was going to say about the whole handing over the dagger to Sansa, the way I took it was a bit different from the way you took it, because I was thinking, like, she's just letting Sansa know that she's acting, kind of like how Margaery gave that rose to Olenna.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
But other than that, I also felt that it was kind of like her giving Sansa something to defend herself with. You know, if she finds something out about Littlefinger, she can use it too. But maybe something to, like, keep her safe, in a way. It's like, maybe you'll need this.
I do enjoy, whether it's staged or not, I definitely like how Arya put her in her place, though. I can wear your face and your pretty dresses. I really like that scene.
They went overboard with Arya. She became super asshole.
She ain't gonna...
I've always loved Arya, but that scene, I was actually like, okay, damn, take it down a notch. Fuck.
Yeah. When I was writing my script, I actually wrote down, so... Arya should stop being a little bitch. and I didn't actually.
I don't
know,
man. She's definitely 100% Jon. You know what I mean? She's 100% for Jon. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It looks like we're going to have a Targaryen baby. They brought up Succession and all the talk of children being dragons, and then Jon and Jorah in their conversation. So that's definitely going to happen.
You know, I was starting to think, because this entire season has been pointing to both Dany and Jon being the prince that was promised or the princess that was promised. What if them joining together and creating something, creating life, creating, having a baby together, that is the prince that was promised? What if that's the thing this whole time? Because we've been thinking, oh, maybe it's two people. Maybe it's more than one person. Maybe it's just an idea, a concept instead of a person. And that's why John and Danny can be it together. But what if it's the baby that John and Danny have together?
I think you said in your thing, Melisandre said that back in season 5, right?
Yeah. So Yeah, for people who didn't watch that video, Melisandre, when she was trying to have sex with John in season 5, she was telling him that he's meant to create life, which is the same thing that Thoros was telling him. Well, basically, what Thoros told him in this episode, which was the Lord of Lights wants your life. And if you think about it, if John had a baby, he would be creating life. So maybe the Lord of Light wants that life from him. So it's kind of metaphorical. Yeah. In a way,
yeah, and it ties into the previous conversation with him and Sam at the wall about I never want to have children because there'll be a snow.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't think of that.
As much shit as Dan and Dave get, they I'm telling you, what this season has been great for those tie-ins and callbacks. I'm just telling you, they knew all this shit way. I mean, this is season one stuff.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And that's definitely got to be one of the things that George R. R. Martin told them. I heard that George R. R. Martin did tell them that Danny and John would be a thing in the books. So the Danny and John are the ice and fire thing that he's been trying to do the whole time.
No.
I don't know. No. I read that somewhere.
The Night King is ice. Danny is fire. John is both.
Yeah, I know. It makes it. I believe that too. But this is what I read. Okay, I don't know, man. I keep thinking that why do people keep seeing John as ice when he's not? He's clearly not. If anything, he's mostly fire.
I don't know about that. He's 50-50, you know?
The wolf and the dragon.
Yeah, who's the... Is John the wolf? Because John is supposed to be a dragon too, you know? I mean...
That's right. That's what I mean. It's a double meaning. You know it is. There's always double or triple meaning. So this is... God, I'm hoping we get Rhaegar and Lyanna.
I know, me too. That's what I'm hoping.
I think that's what it's got to be, right?
I want to see.
Because they were truly the separate wolf and dragon versus John is a wagon.
Holy shit.
a drool.
Wagon.
Oh my God. Perfect.
The shit that we say on this damn podcast.
A wheel wagon. Some other people were saying that maybe the wolf and the dragon and the wolf is, you know, Viserion and Summer.
What the hell?
What is this fucking Shrek?
I would love to see a white Summer, but that's not gonna happen.
No, if they can't even put a damn regular direwolf in the background, for Christ's sake. I mean, Jesus, all season you heard one reference to Ghost finally after everybody bitched about it enough, I guess, but it's like have a little white dog in the background just walking by.
A little white dog.
Something.
Well,
but, you
I
know, this
it
makes
was.
Me think.
Yeah.
This makes me think that they have already recorded a few things for season 8. All right, we got three things. One, the company that rents out these direwolves to film posted those pictures of Summer and Ghost, correct, on their Instagram account way before the season started when they filmed in Canada.
Oh,
number
yeah. Well, remember? I just saw those pictures of random wolves, but yeah, I can.
Well, it's supposed to be them. It said they were back on set or whatever. So okay. That, and then you had the Melisandre thing where Carice tweeted out, or no, it was her Instagram where she had the makeup, the old lady makeup. Well, she went away because she had a new kid and all that stuff. So why would she tweet that out for season 7 when that happened in season 6?
Well, I don't know, because looking at Carissa's Instagram account, she has been posting a lot of pictures from her filming season 6. So lately, especially lately, she started posting, like, she's being a troll, basically, because she was posting pictures of her in a snowy place, kind of like beyond the wall where these guys went. And it makes you think that she went there, or that she was there, or that she's going to be there in the finale. And then she posted another picture of that same set, and you can see Stannis's men in the background. So it was definitely from season 6.
Oh, well, shit. Well, that may explain that one. But and then there was something else that made me think, oh, it was Edmure. Where the fuck is Edmure?
Yeah, fuck,
he
Edmure.
Filmed.
They said he was filming scenes. What the fuck happened?
Right, so he should either this episode, he comes back from Casterly Rock if they moved him there with the Unsullied, or they're just trolling us and it's going to be in season 8. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, man. But that brings me back to my point that I wanted to say about Ghost. They did film a Ghost scene, and they just deleted it. It was a deleted scene, I think I heard from like the premiere or something. Or before John leaves Winterfell, he has a talk with Ghost, or like he says bye to Ghost or something. And then
see, I wanted to see that, like him at least tell him goodbye and say take care of Sansa or something.
Yeah, and like how, like, just add a few extra minutes. What's the problem with adding a few extra minutes?
Cut that out.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why
cut
that out? That makes no sense. If you film it, you've already spent the money.
Yeah, and why are direwolves so expensive anyways? Like, all you do is just a camera trick, like a distance thing. It's just,
that's right. That's what I mean. They could have just got a little German Shepherd and had him walk by off in the distance, and it looked like ghosts from a distance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That costs no money, like none. Just have the fucking dog walk by like the ghost of Catelyn did in the background. Everybody keeps saying there's a ghost of Catelyn. Jesus, man.
Oh, I never went back to look at that.
Just a lady walks by in a similar dress because there's, you know, everybody wears similar dresses back in those days. Jesus.
Right.
And all of a sudden, she's a ghost.
Do you think we're getting Cleganebowl this next episode?
Yes. Okay. Well, actually, no. Wait. I don't think, I don't know if it will happen this episode, but yes, we are getting it. I am convinced, dude. We are fucking getting it. They're not going to skip on that fan service.
I don't, if they do, it'll be by fire, something with him and fire.
Yes, that's exactly
what I'm
thinking.
He's going to have to kill him. I said in a stream a while back or a Q&A video or something that I keep saying that I think he's got to die by fire because he's so fucking big and stronger now, even while being dead. So
yeah,
the hound's injured and all that shit. So yeah, he's going to have to burn.
He's
well, we
like
all
boy,
know that obviously, just from the trailer alone, it looks like Euron's fleet and they're pulling in, right? Everybody's there. Grey Worm's obviously back. We see the Unsullied. Do you think they just had this big gathering and kind of like, do you remember like when Dany sent her champion to fight the champion? Do you think maybe we get something like that?
I was trying to figure out where that army is, first of all, because it kind of looked like it was Highgarden, but I guess it makes sense that it's just King's Landing outside, you know.
Yeah, well, Tyrion told us last episode, we'll go with two armies and three dragons and all that shit. And so it's going to be her protecting herself to go to this meeting. She'll make an appearance and make a big grand entrance to scare Cersei on Drogon, I'm sure. But there'll be armies outside. There'll be armies outside waiting in case they try to set a trap.
Yeah, that's what I think. They're just there just in case anything happens. But they're just ready to go. And then I guess Jaime and Bronn just watching them, you know, making sure that they don't do anything.
Yeah, Tyrion told us exactly
what
they're going to do.
But just Cersei's a fucking bitch. Cersei's a...
That was another good scene. That was another good scene in episode 6 was the Tyrion Dany talk. You know, we had the reference to children again with the line of succession and he's too little for me. Whatever the fuck that is.
Yes.
and you know, you're no hero, but I understand you're brave and making the little joke and he was like, "Oh shit, I'm sorry."
Right, but what's weird is that we haven't seen Dany at all in any of the pictures or the promos for the finale in the Dragon Pit. Like, will she show up or will she not show up and piss Cersei off or something? Like,
yeah, I think that she shows up and makes a big grand entrance on a fucking dragon. That would make sense. That's what I think they're going to do.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I still think there could be kind of like this, not trial by combat type thing, but kind of like, you know, your champion versus my champion thing. I don't know. It looks like the Hound's going to be, obviously he's on a rowboat with a damn the white, is he not?
That would be a pretty good
setup. Yeah, that's the perfect setting. In the dragon pit with skulls everywhere and shit. Hell yeah, it would be great. Whether or not they do it, you know, again, you know, just like Chris said, the busting out of the ice with the dragon would have been a lot more epic than these mysterious fucking chains. So I'm sorry.
Yes, back to the chains.
No! Okay, but I was thinking, what if something happened to Dany on the boat?
Like,
okay, maybe not. But I was also thinking that a bit off topic. But do you guys agree that a fight's gonna break out at the Dragon Pit?
That's where I think. That's what I'm thinking. You know, maybe, you know, there's a big disagreement, and I still think there's a possibility of some type of, like we saw outside of Meereen. Remember when, you know, you had Dario and the dude that was pissing over there that lasted about 2 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very common back then. You know, champion versus champion. That would be great. And she's like, "Oh, I got the mountain." And you know damn well Sandor is going to step right out there if that's the case. I know he will.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
I think it's possible, but if you're talking about the scene where the Hound pulls the sword out, I mean, that's probably the white, wouldn't you think?
Don't know.
Since they're there to... Because John's going to be like, "Look, we ain't got time for all this bullshit. Here's what the real problem is. Here's this white fucker we captured."
You're probably right, but I don't want you to be.
No, I Could be wrong.
But why would the hound fight the white? I mean, like, the white's going to be
wrong. Cersei, it keeps going. Like, she cuts his leg off and it keeps going. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
And then they have to maybe burn it or stick it with dragon glass to prove it kills it or whatever.
But otherwise, that was such an epic shot.
Stupid ass trek beyond the walls for nothing if they don't prove what it is.
Well, yes. Like, I thought you could see because it looks like a mummy type of thing that's still...
That's true. That is true.
I do think, if you're not going to say something else about that, I'm going to change the topic a little bit.
Nah, I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, I don't really get too tinfoily, but that's probably about as tinfoily as I'll get. And I mean, like I said, it does make sense because Cersei always is using the fucking mountain to try to solve all of her problems. You know what I mean? She always has. So it's possible. It's not, I don't think it's too far out there, but I don't know. We'll just have to see, I guess.
Yes. Well, what I was going to say, and I was just thinking that maybe the person who's the most interested in this white is going to be Qyburn. I feel like Qyburn may tell Cersei, like, hey, we can use this in some way. Either Qyburn or Euron will be interested in this Night King and what they can do with them, how they can take advantage of their power. Like, I feel like Cersei does think that way as well. Like, she probably won't want to team up with these people, and she would want to find a way to use the Night King to defeat them so that he takes care of them,
sure.
Some type of thing. The Tim Foyley idea that I had was that Cersei gives her baby to the Night King because she heard that Craster was doing that, and that's how Craster didn't get in trouble with the Night King. Has anyone else said that? I'm pretty sure some other people have thought about it.
The baby thing, I only thought about in the sense of a parallel between Dany and Cersei, since Cersei just got pregnant. I think that just shows it's Dany will too, but I hadn't thought about her actually giving up a child to the Night King.
What? I said it was tinfoily. I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm, you know, convinced that this will happen, but I just...
No,
like,
I'm just saying I hadn't heard it. I didn't say it was insane.
Oh, no. I'm saying it, though. But I think, like, something's going to happen with that baby. And we do see in the pictures for the finale, Cersei is talking about the baby with Jaime again. She's, like, holding her belly and talking to him. And I think they're arguing as well, because in one of them, it looks like Jaime's just talking to her angrily. So
this is confirmed it's Jaime's? It's definitely Jaime's kid?
I would hope so.
It's probably the Kettle Blacks, but that's not a show thing.
Definitely not Euron's.
I wanted it to be Euron's, but like logistically doesn't make sense for it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, though, is Jaime asked, as in Euron may have been hanging around some off screen that we hadn't seen. You know what I mean? So if he asked, he's got to believe that she's been hanging out with other people.
Well, what I thought was that he asked if she was going to lie about who the father is again because she doesn't want people to know that she's sleeping with the...
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yes, he could have.
But, yeah.
But that's he seemed also, to get actually yeah. happy when she said it's yours. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think... Do you think she'll actually have this kid, though, because of the Maggie the Frog prophecy? Maggie the Frog only predicted 3 children, correct?
Yeah, and that's, you know, a lot of people brought up Gendry again, but I mean, I don't know. She never had that in the books, apparently, so.
Yeah, and I mean, they already messed up by having Cersei say that she had another kid in the first season. And people are saying, oh, she can't have Gendry. Gendry can't be hers because of the Maggie the Frog prophecy. Well, they've already made that mistake, so I think they're just still going to go with it. If they do want Gendry to be Cersei's legitimate child, they've already introduced that idea in the first episode or the first season. And I think they're just going to go with it. And I mean, like they do say, I watched that scene again where Cersei's talking to Catelyn about this baby that she lost. And she said that, well, first of all, she said that he was black haired. Second, she said that he was a fighter. And what have we heard of Gendry a bunch of times this season? That he's a good fighter, that he's a fighter. Like, it's a weird... They're using the same descriptions for both.
Yeah, that's a good point. But how would they reveal that? Like, is Gendry's not going to this thing, right? I mean, he's going to be, I'm assuming, still on bed rest. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
it ain't like she would recognize him as an adult either. He definitely wouldn't recognize her. So how would they ever reveal that anyway?
Not enough time.
Yeah, I don't know. Bran.
Too much plot line to do a story
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, true. Bran can do anything.
Bran's going to do everything, but he doesn't want to.
Yeah. Fucking get involved, dude. I mean, you're fucking Three-Eyed Crow.
But he's definitely confirmed to be in this next episode. So we're getting something with him. We never get Bran without something significant.
Yes.
So we know we're getting something there. Hopefully, turning it Aaron Hall. I don't know.
Oh, man. That would be so cool. Well, they did say that this episode is going to be bigger than episode 6. So Alan Taylor, the director for episode 6, was saying that he thought he was given the big episode, and then he looked at what was going to happen in the finale, and then he was like, oh, no, shit.
That one thing I can say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. They always have good finales. You know what I'm saying? I think they always, especially the last couple, I think actually season 6, episode 10 is one of my favorites. I really enjoyed that episode from front to back. But, you know, of course, I like the big war scenes. Probably they're my favorite. But anyway, we know that significant shit is going to happen. I don't know if we're getting a lot of... I don't think this season we're getting a lot of justification. Like, you know, I think it's going to be more like the end of season 5. Do you remember that? Like, you know, you had dumbass Theon, whatever the fuck he is now, Reek again, jumping off the wall. You know, we had the unfinished moment with Brienne killing Stannis. You know what I mean? There were so many cliffhangers in that one. I think this finale is going to be more cliffhanger-ish.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely going to have a big cliffhanger. The question is, what will that be? It has to do with the White Walkers.
But it's going
to
be more than one. They don't ever just do one. You know what I'm saying? They've never done just one storyline.
Yeah, it's got to be the Wall and something. It's got to be the Wall and RLJ related.
And something in Winterfell, because they wouldn't be doing that. We saw a scene where, you know, they're doing North again with Sansa. Something's going to happen there. Hopefully it's Littlefinger. And he finally gets what's coming to his ass, the Dragon Pit. It's going to be, I think, 4 scenes, I would think. Big cliffhangers. And yeah, I think you're right. Probably the Wall.
Yeah, probably the Night King melting the wall with the
new dragon. That would look pretty cool on screen. That would look fucking really cool.
Yeah.
If the dragon doesn't have frost breath instead of, like,
Yeah, see, that wouldn't make any sense. I mean, it would in the sense of being ice, an ice dragon or whatever people want to call it, but that would just make the wall bigger.
Yeah, no shit.
I'm sure to breathe blue fire.
Well, he could build a staircase or something up to the top.
Yeah, he could build a ramp to go over it, but then he'd have to build a ramp to go down it.
The only thing I want to see that dragon burn, I mean, I know we're going to probably get it to melt in the wall. I'd love to see him light up Euron's fleet with that damn dragon.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be instead of Dany doing it.
Yeah. Euron's got to die, and that would be a good way for him to go, for sure. And I guess we're just done with what's going on in the Dorne basement, I guess that's what I'm calling it. So I guess what's her face is dead and she's watched her die. And where the hell is Yara? Are we going to get anything with that maybe? I don't know. Or are these...
Yeah. I was thinking, because we do see Theon all looking all devastated, like something really bad happened. And it's got to do with Yara. And he's going to be at the Dragon Pit. So I'm assuming, I think Euron's going to be at the Dragon Pit as well. And he is probably going to bring Yara with him and show it to Theon and just kind of like, or tell Theon that he killed her or something.
Yeah, I think they're going to use the Yara like the Winds of Winter Forsaken chapter, where she's still alive in the bowels of the silence.
Yeah,
I don't know if we'll see that this episode, but
brutally tortured. He did say that he was going
to
make
Ramsay
look like
a little
kid.
That's what I was about to ask
kid,
you guys.
So
I'm like,
that?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen anything past the Ramsay stage yet. I think Ramsay's still upping him. Unless he was just running his damn mouth. But hopefully, it would have to be in this episode, or he's full of shit.
Yeah, it has to be.
Are we getting the Golden Company next year? I mean, are they really going to bring another whole entire group and introduce them?
It's possible. It might make the final battle more epic.
But Jorah was part of that too, though. So maybe they'll, you know, fuck Cersei over next year.
Connections, man. It's all about connections. Remember, guys, everyone who's listening to this podcast, in your life, you got to make a lot of connections, and then you will have a good time.
It's who you know. It's who you know.
Yeah, Chris, you got to have batshit crazy friends that play with rubber bands and weird biker guys.
And apparently eats rubber bands.
And wraps them around their face and makes dolphin noises. Hey, welcome back, pal.
Yeah, fuck you guys.
Behold the power of the broadcast.
Oh, Kevin's next. If he defends the Sansa at all, I'm going batch. I am not no holds barred. I'm going full fucking crazy. Yeah, I'm going full Ramsay on his ass.
Okay, do you think? What do you think is up with Sansa up on the Winterfell thing with her hood up?
I don't know. I'm really curious about
what's
that.
What's he sad
about? Go ahead.
I think I think that's when she makes the decision right there. There's no other reason to be thinking by herself, right? That's what I said in the video.
Oh, and then there's a picture of her in the Winterfell Hall. So we don't know if she's talking to the lords again or if she's talking to one person or what's going on.
I hadn't seen a picture in the hall.
Yeah, I saw it somewhere. I can't remember where.
I've had enough of Littlefinger, though. I mean, they're dragging out him killing that sumbitch because they don't want to put Sandor anywhere near him because, you know, Sandor knows exactly what the hell happened. He was there. He was right there. Bran obviously should know.
Yes.
He knows everything else. He tells him, oh, remember when you did this and that? He's got to know. I mean, enough's enough. Kill this. I know you love Littlefinger, but damn. It's time.
Yeah. No, he's a great fucking villain. And that's one thing that bothers me a little bit, if he does die, is I've always wanted to be him and Varys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they set that up so early, like, them even have that iconic shot of them facing each other in the throne room. Like, I wanted Varys to have something to do with it.
Yeah,
but
me too.
Sansa makes sense, too.
Well,
but,
we know Varys ain't making it to the end of the show. That's already been confirmed.
Yeah, that's true, but... Hell, he knew he was going to die anyway, but I think he just thinks it's sooner than it would have been.
He ain't having no luck with these red priests whatsoever. He needs to stay the fuck away from them because everyone he encounters tells him some shit he does not want to hear.
Yeah, at least he wasn't specific.
He's not making it to the end.
Oh, dude, guys, there's new pictures.
Nude pictures.
There's even more pictures now.
Oh, new
pictures. Not nude pictures.
Okay, sorry.
New pictures.
Nude Danny pictures, you said?
No. What? No.
Nude pictures of Varys. Is Sam coming back? I don't think we're going to get... Do you think we'll get Sam in this episode? Or is that a season 8 thing?
I don't know. He should be going to Winterfell, but I don't know if they'll show that yet or not.
I keep thinking that Sam will have scenes with Bran. I was in work with Bran with the whole visions. Like Sam will tell Bran where to look. Like, Sam will know the history that... books say, and then Bran can go and take a look.
And if Bran goes to look at the wedding thing or whatever, if that's the lion and the, or I'm sorry, the wolf and the dragon, then Sam has to be there to say, wait a minute. you said something about Prince Rhaegar.
Yeah.
Rhaegar?
Could be that.
So yeah, I guess that would make sense for Sam to go ahead and be there. And maybe finds out his father got burned by Dany.
Oh yeah.
Oh brother. Yeah. Oh shit. Well, he's going to be fine with it. He's not going to care.
He won't care about his father. He might care about his brother, but...
Oh, yeah.
He could find out that he's the heir to Horn Hill if he can get out of the Night's Watch.
Yeah, true.
No, I don't either.
But I don't think there'll be a Night's Watch in the end of this thing anyway.
Freaking so. Dolores head, so... But we know what's coming.
There's a good question. If we see the cliffhanger with the wall, is that going to be at Castle Black or East Watch? Since they seem to be... headed to East Watch. Are they going to Castle Black just to go to Castle Black right in the center of the wall to bring Dolores Ed and the Night's Watch into it?
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't see Ed at all. Like, what? Why not? He would have been perfect to go on that mission.
I agree. They should have been there on the mission with him, I think.
Yeah. What the hell, John?
I mean, Night's Watch goes from castle to castle all the time.
You forgot about your best friend?
Yeah.
What the fuck's wrong with you? He's too obsessed with this new girl. You know, it's girls that always... get the guys forgetting about their best friends.
Fucking blonde chicks too, man.
We do apologize that we haven't been around for the past 3 weeks. We've had some major life stuff going on, as well as everybody's wrapped up in the Game of Thrones. But one of us actually got to go and see a bunch of the locations. So we're going to wrap it up and let Val talk about what she got to see Game of Thrones related over in Europe.
Yeah. How was your trip, Val? How was your trip?
Well, a lot of cool shit happened. One of the best stuff would be that I got to stay at the Coon, and I learned how to pronounce it properly. It's not the Quan, it's a Coon. The Coon. That is the place where a lot of Game of Thrones actors have stayed at while filming, and especially during the first few seasons, I think, because they do have this list of who has stayed in which room, and it was packed with like season one characters like Ned, you know, Sean Bean. They have a picture of Sean Bean there, and they have like the costumes, and they have this like table set up with the whole Game of Thrones themed food and coats and stuff. And they also do like a Game of Thrones themed dinner. I don't know if that's every night or like how they, you know, something like a tour bus comes and they do it or something like that. And I got to stay in, I think it was room number 4, which was the room where Cersei Lannister, Lena Headey, stayed. So that was cool. And she was going to come to Fan Expo, which is the week after the finale. And I was going to come up to her and tell her that I stayed in her room, which was probably would have been a bit creepy, but I was going to do it. And then she fucking canceled. She fucking canceled. But hey.
Yeah, I hear she canceled Dragon Con too, didn't she?
Yeah, well, that's a good sign, I guess, if she's filming for Game of Thrones. I don't know. She can't be filming Red yet because they're going to be filming in October, I think. That's when they start filming. The one main thing that I did around Northern Ireland was find the Game of Thrones doors. And if you guys don't know about the Game of Thrones doors, they were carved out of trees from the Dark Hedges. And if you don't know what the Dark Hedges is the location where they filmed Gendry and Arya when they were being taken to the Night's Watch by Yoren, you know, when they go through the that road that had the trees connected, you know, that really cool trees road. Anyway, so that's the Dark Hedges.
Was that considered the King's Road, right?
Yeah, the King's Road, thank you. you can Google it. So apparently there was a storm recently, before season 6, that took down some of the trees, like broke the trees. And so they grabbed the wood from those trees and decided to make Game of Thrones doors. So these doors are, there's 10 of them, and there's one for each episode of season 6, and they are completely carved up with things that happened in that episode. And they are all over the place in Northern Ireland, but only like really, really good restaurants or pubs got these doors installed. So they're like high quality, top rated places that you go and you will just love whatever you eat there or whatever you drink there. And I did get to eat at a couple of these places. We had to drive around a lot to get to these doors, but I took pictures and videos of everything, and I will make a video about the doors. That's one big thing that I've been thinking, planning to work on after the season is over. And other than that, I did go to a few filming locations. I went to see where they filmed the Iron Islands, where when Theon went back the first time, that harbor. There was also, yes, where they filmed Winterfell. It was very underwhelming. It was very lame. There was only like one tiny little tower. I have no idea how the hell they added so much CGI to that thing, because there was nothing there. It looked nothing like Winterfell. And I was like, is this it? Is this really it? Are you sure? Are we in the right spot? But yeah, that was lame. And then we also saw the tower that they used for the twins, which was also really tiny. It's incredible what these people can do with CGI and like how they can imagine what to do with what they have in real life, because like I couldn't have ever imagined that you could use that little tower for something so epic looking, right? So we went there, and then we also went to Tully Moor Forest, which had the scene where Tyrion talks to Jon when they're on their way to Castle Black, when Tyrion is telling him about keeping his mind sharp, like, you know, like a whetstone with a sword, whatever, that thing that happened there. Although that one was a bit hard to find because it's just trees. So you're like, well, it might have been here, might have been here. There's trees everywhere. The place was beautiful, though. And we also saw where Will found the chopped wildlings in the first episode. We found that spot that was really cool. That really looked like it. It's just this one big circle with the two trees. And we also went to where they found the dead deer with the dead direwolf, and where they found the direwolf pups. And I got engaged there.
I was going to say there was a special location. How about the direwolf pups? Something cool happened.
Yeah, something cool happened. There was no one around, and it was a pretty cool place to do it. So yes, I am now engaged, and it happened in that spot. So that was pretty cool. Other than that,
congratulations.
thank you. We almost went to the bridge where Euron met Balon, and I mean, I also went to places like Scotland. I went to Bristol, Bournemouth, Brighton, and a lot of places in Scotland, which names I don't remember. But I figure you guys would just be interested in Northern Ireland, which had all the Game of Thrones stuff in it.
I just wanted to remind everybody real quick. Everybody knows that, you know, Trial by Trivia, I try to do charity stuff, but I just want to remind everybody that this Sunday, Chris is doing a live stream and he is raising money. So please, we don't care who you watch. I'm just asking you to run over there, help a brother out, and he's raising money for St. Jude's. his whole stream, everything that he makes, that live stream is going to St. Jude's. He'll have the link. Don't do, what is it called? Super chat or none of that.
Yeah, yeah. No super chats this Sunday and no regular Streamlabs. There'll be a link in that description.
And like I said, you know, stream who you want to, but I'm just asking you guys, please run over there. My son was actually in St. Jude as a newborn. So in this hospital, a lot of times people don't pay the bills. So it's really kind of paid for, you know, by donation. So, and this place is amazing. A cancer kids, everything you could think of. It's one of the best hospitals you'll ever see in your life. So if you don't mind, please just run by there real quick and, you know, throw 5-10 bucks, whatever you can do. You know what I mean? And that's it.
Yeah. And that link will be available. I'll be tweeting it out and stuff all week. You don't even have to stop by the stream if you don't want to. You can just go directly to that link and it'll go straight to them. But the cool thing is on the stream, I will have a little widget where you can see the progress. So that's the cool thing about this little setup I have with them. So
that, you know, what's weird, like I had never heard of, or maybe never paid attention, but right after I heard that you were doing that charity stream for St. Jude's Hospital, I saw a commercial for it for the first time. You know how those
this all started actually last year when my buddy, his daughter had to go. She got cancer and she's alive today. She lost a leg, but she's alive because of, and they, families don't pay a dime, period. It's completely donation based. So I was trying to do something last year and I'd bought a shirt. They were selling some shirts and his daughter name's Caroline, and they were selling these pink Kicking It With Caroline t-shirts to raise money for him to travel back and forth from Louisiana to Tennessee. So therefore I was trying to get on the same page and do a video back then with that shirt and, you know, to get people to buy those shirts or whatever to donate essentially. But we could never get on the same page either. I was doing a video when there was no campaign, or the campaign was going on while I wasn't doing a video, or vice versa. So we've been talking about it ever since. And I figured, since it's been pretty hyped this season with the streams after the show, that season 7, the finale, would be a great time to do it. So stop on by and hang out and let's get some money to these kids.
Once again, before we leave, we are going to leave you with a question of the week. You will leave that question in the comment section on YouTube at #Q. And the question of the week is going to be, dun, 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 what do you think, other than the wall coming down, what do you think is going to be the oh shit moment in the finale?
I think we get more than one, right? The wall, Littlefinger, RLJ stuff, let us know.
Oh, Chris, I didn't tell you. I was telling Tarzan that on my flight on the way there, I was listening to our podcast, the one that we were all super hyper or whatever. And I passed the earplug or the earphone or the whatever it was to my mom to listen to a bit of it. And right as she puts it in, we're fucking talking about doing lines and shit. And I was like, oh, no, why? That was so awkward. I'm like,
oh. I wish you good fortune in the bills to come.
You underestimate the power of the dark side.
No. Now it ends.